All right, everyone, just show me a smile. Everybody looks better with a smile on, right? All right, any single people around here? If you're single? All right, just put that smile on. You never know, somebody's looking at you, all right? Who wants to get married to a sourpuss? No. Everybody wants to have a smile on their face. It is a great honor for Clara and I to be here with you. This is my beautiful wife. Come up here. And in my eyes, she's the most beautiful woman in the world.
She's pretty handsome too, isn't he? Yeah.
I'll give you money later on, all right? We've been married 52 years.
Wow. I was 5 when we got married.
And she's older than I am. So. And that is the truth.
By one day.
All right, by one day. That is the truth. She was born on the 15th of March, 1951. In Cuba. And I was born in the United States on the 16th day of March, 1951. And she's always reminded me, the Bible says, respect your elders, you know. No, I've just told a fib right there. All right, but it is a privilege of ours to be here. I've been preaching for over 50 years now. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, it is getting more serious. Do you understand? The devil is like a roaring lion, and he's seeking whom he may devour. He's already got certain people that are captive. So he's trying to seek out the ones that are not captive. Do you understand?
Yep.
And so he's working on every one of us in an area of our lives somewhere. And so the Bible tells us to be strong where? In the Lord. Now, that's not my sermon, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And the word strong, power, and might are three different Greek words, and each one has a spiritual significance. A lot of people are worried about their strength physically, but you can be strong physically and not in the Lord.
Yeah.
And you can be skinny physically, but be strong in the Lord. Understand? All right, your natural strength is good for here, but it won't carry you to heaven. All right. I have a subject that I want to deal with today, and I would like for everybody to, the Bible says, he that has an ear, let him hear. We have got to want to hear. Now, we live in a day and age where my children, grandchildren especially, they're on their devices all the time, and sometimes you can be talking, and they're not paying attention to you at all, right? And so sometimes even in the house of God, we can be here but not here. We can have our mind focused about what is going to be for lunch, what we're going to do later on. Hey, I'm going for a date, whatever it is. And so you can be present and not be here. But the Bible talks about that the entrance of your words bring light. So we can be in darkness in certain areas of our life, tell me amen, but if you would listen to the word of God, the entrance of that word will bring light to your understanding. Okay? He brings light to the understanding of the simple, because we don't know everything. I don't know everything. I've been on this journey for over 50 years, and I'm still learning, and it feels like, and even in the last 6 months or a year, that I've learned so much more than what I knew before. It's true. All right, because if you think you know it all, you're not going to learn anymore, all right? And the hardest thing to do is to unlearn something. I grew up third generation Pentecostal. It was a classical Pentecostal church. It was a legalistic church, and I didn't know it was legalistic. Do you understand that? Because I had my grandparents inside the church. I had my aunts and my uncles inside that local church that I grew up in. And everything that I saw was normal because that was where I grew up in. But then as time goes on, yes, we believed in salvation. We believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believed in speaking in tongues and other things. But then there were areas that I began to see that made me uncomfortable because how could my grandparents be wrong? How could my mother be wrong? And it wasn't that they were, you know, as with their light and understanding, they were walking in everything they knew, but they didn't understand certain precepts or, you know, principles, like I would say. All right, they never knew the word hermeneutics, the art of interpreting the word of God. They knew a man named Herman, but they never knew what hermeneutics was. All right? And so as God comes along, because he is wanting to lead us and to guide us, all right? And everyone say into all truth. Everyone say all truth. All right, so sometimes we have to examine what we thought was true because it was normal for our family, but now examine it under the light of the Word of God. Lord, is it still true? The Word of God never changes. I said the Word of God never changes. But our understanding of the Word of God, hey, it changes because once again, in the family you grew up in, the church you came into, that was normal. Now, what I want to talk about today, and this time is going to fly by, God have mercy. I want to talk about a culture of honor. A culture of honor. Listen very carefully. The word honor in the Bible is used 179 times. Honor is important in heaven. Revivals can come when there is, and we heard that this morning, when people hunger and thirst for righteousness, because you can be full of self. You can be full of the things of this world and you don't have a hunger for God. You didn't like that one, but it's the truth anyway. All right, and so those that will really hunger and thirst for righteousness, when they say, Lord, all I want is you. Amen. Then we want to worship in spirit and in truth. And sometimes our church backgrounds, you know, they say, oh, in my church, I grew up with hymns. Maybe some of you did. And so they were anointed, yes. But, you know, there was something that, hey, we needed spirit and truth. Tell me amen. And we needed this concept of honor. Because, hey, how many want more of God? How many honor the Lord? All right, all right. Now, the word honor over here actually means, this is from the Strong's Concordance, the prize, That is for evaluation, by implication to revere, to honor, to value. And so when we honor something, we value it. Amen? If I honor God, I value God. If I don't honor God, I don't put any value on Him. If I honor myself, I value it over anything and everything else. Do you understand? But I realize I'm getting older, and everyone here is getting older at the very same rate. And sometimes now I look in the mirror and say, who is that old man in the mirror there? 50 years ago, I didn't look like that. True or not? And we all come around and we got another wrinkle. We got another sag somewhere. Sometimes gravity has a way of pulling down upon you. Both men and women, you know, you didn't like that one at all, but it's true anyway. All right. And so what do we honor? Now, I'm going to show you seven things that the Bible actually tells us to honor. Number one over here, the Bible tells us that we are to honor the king. Now, we don't have a king in Australia. We've got a prime minister. And there was a change of, the prime minister. I am to honor Anthony Albanese. I am to pray for Anthony Albanese. It doesn't mean that I have to agree with everything he's doing, but I am still to honor him and I'm still to pray for him. Can I hear an amen there? All right, you have a state premier and his name is Daniel Andrews, right? All right, look at this verse over here now. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. There, the Bible says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And I'll talk about that later. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of the Lord. Could I hear an amen? So therefore, if I was living here, I would be honoring and I would be praying for. All right, I may not agree with him, but I got to honor him and pray for him. Tell me amen. Because if we don't honor him and pray for him, just think how much worse it could be. True or not? Now, when Peter, this over here, the first verse, when Peter was writing this, the actually Caesar of Rome was Nero. And Nero is killing Christians all over the place. And through the anointing of the Lord now, they're saying, honor the Caesar. You didn't like that one. Pray for him. Yes. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. All right? And so I ask you, we're not going to do it right now because I got to hurry up. Hey, we need to pray for these people, right? Pray for them. Amen. Pray blessings upon them. Pray that God lead them and guide them, okay? Now, the one that I grew up with was for children to honor their parents. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So I was taught early, hey, you honor mom, you honor dad. Were you taught that? Are parents valuable? Yes or no? Yeah. Now, sometimes there have been children that have been abused by their parents, misused by their parents, and it's tough, but the Bible says, I'm still to honor them. I'm still going to have to pray for them. Amen. Preaching the truth. Amen. Now, my father was an alcoholic. My mother took 4 children to church by herself. My dad, he was a great mechanic. He provided a car, but dad never came to church with her. There were just a few occasions that I actually remember. Now, my father taught me the word respect. Where I come from, I was born in Tennessee, I had to say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Otherwise, he would rearrange me. He would take his belt and get anointed. And I'm not talking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit now. He would take his belt and anoint me very good. And so he would apply his belt up this direction here. And sometimes he'd get excited and go a little bit higher. And so I learned when Dad called out, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, whatever. He taught me that. And I'm thankful for that. And what I didn't realize was this. My father had been abused as a little boy in church. And sometimes our parents don't know how to show love is because they weren't shown love. And you can only give what you've got. It was only the 17 months, the last months of his life, that he gave his life to Jesus. And so one event, or several, whatever. That changed 60 years of his life. So as a little boy growing up, I never heard him tell me, Johnny, I love you. In fact, he didn't call me Johnny. He called me Colonel. He had been in the military. He came back home. So I'm part of that, you know, that generation. Baby boomer generation. And so I was called Colonel. And so for 18 years, my wife and I got married 18 and a half. Those last 6 months, we really matured a whole lot those last 6 months. I'm joking right now. All right. And so, but he called me Colonel. He was an alcoholic, at times unfaithful to my mother. I didn't like him. He got cancer. He prayed through. He came to my family. He came to Australia and stayed a month. He actually came to say goodbye to my wife, his grandchildren here in Australia. And he's walking down the steps of my home. And he says, son, I want you to know that when I was a little boy, I was abused by a minister. And I finally understood in that moment all the files in my head. Older generation, the files, all right? I understood why we had difficulties. And I understood why he turned to alcohol. because people many times go to alcohol and to drugs just to cover the pain up. And finally, when he said that, I could have real compassion. Because, excuse the expression, growing up, there was a hell of a life. Because people who don't know how to love, people who was never given love, they don't know how to share love. Do you understand? And so, but still, I learned to honor him. He taught me respect. He taught me a value system. Yes, later days, those last 17 months of his life, and I was only around him 3 months of the 17, and we were finally on the very same page together. He got born again. And the very same church that his mom and dad used to go to. And I was there. We went back to Louisiana, Baton Rouge is where home was at that time. And he wanted me to baptize him in water. And I got to baptize him in water. I'm excited about that, all right? Because what his parents and what his brothers and sisters, what my mother and others have been praying for, finally Dad gets born again. Give the Lord a nice hand clap. All right. Oh, God. Got to hurry up. The third thing that we're supposed to honor, the Bible says, is widows. 1 Timothy 5, verse number 3, honor widows who are really widows. Back in the New Testament days, when a widow didn't have any children and all that kind of stuff, then it was the responsibility of the church to take care of her. Do you understand that? Do we have any widows in this congregation right now? Okay, that's all right. I was preaching this in a place, and a pastor came to me and said, Pastor John, what about single parent families? Because it's like a widow. Something has happened. There's maybe been a death somewhere, or there's a divorce somewhere or whatever, and they're by themselves. And I said, that is true. Do we have any single parent families here right now? Hey, can I just get you to stand just a moment? Anybody, somebody close, Malcolm, Susanna, go over and lay hands upon her right now. We want you to know you're not alone. There's another one over here. All right, Stan, you're not alone. We're in family. God puts the solitary ware into families. Let's pray for her right quick. Go ahead, pray for her. Lord, in the name of Jesus, right now, we just speak your blessings upon her. Lord, I speak your peace upon them right now. Lord, I come against all the confusion, Lord. I come against right now, my God, sometimes the despair just of living that we don't feel like we can do it, my Lord. But Lord, through you, we can be strong in you, Lord. And we can be strong and be planted in the house of God. And Lord, through you, my Lord, you will bless them. You will strengthen them. You will lead them. And you will guide them. And Lord, just as my mother took 4 children to church, if they got children, Lord, they can, Lord, be faithful to you and be faithful to the house of God, where they can raise their children, my Lord, that will honor you and bless you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, may the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with them, my Lord, and strengthen them in the inner person. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Okay. The fourth group of people it talks about is for husbands to honor their wives. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the, as to the weaker vessel. And we're only talking about physical strength here. Because what man would like to go through childbirth? I've never seen anybody volunteer for that. All right. Even though in my country now they don't know what a woman is. God, what a mess. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. But Pastor John, but I thought the wife was to honor me. No, the wife is to respect you. But for her to respect you, hey, you got to be honorable too. Tell me amen. All right. All right, so as you love the Lord and as you honor her, it's easy for her to respect you if you honor her. You didn't like that one. Oh, my Lord. I was in Auckland preaching at a Samoan church, and I was preaching with all my heart, going for it, you know, like I normally do there. And so I told the men, I said, hey, some of you men here, you need to ask forgiveness to your wives. And they looked at me, oh. I gave an altar call, and it shook me up. There was 1,000 people inside the church. Hey, 250 to 300 people walked up to the front. They were 5 deep all the way across the church completely. And I normally go lay hands on individual and pray for them. And Clara's back in the back, and I am just flabbergasted. How am I going to lay hands with all these people here? And I couldn't do it. All I can do is pray. Do you understand? And there was a Samoan guy that came to me. He said, all right, we Samoan men, we don't like forgiving. We don't want to forgive our wives. Next thing I know, he's in the altar and he's crying. It's true. It's true. Because we as men, we're the head of the household. The wife is the heart of the household. You can live. Oh, my Lord, I better leave it alone. All right, I better leave it alone. But in the very end, listen to me. God commands a blessing when there is unity, and the devil will do anything he can to cause friction, unforgiveness between the husband and the wife, tell me amen, because our prayers will be hindered. It takes 2 people to make a marriage and only 1 person to destroy a marriage. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. It's only 2 non-perfect individuals, imperfect individuals that do not give up on each other. Amen. We can do better than that now. Come on now, all right? All right, I gotta hurry. Oh, my Lord. How am I going to get all this stuff done? Right, the Bible says, finally, honor all. Everyone say all. So that means whoever comes through this church, whoever comes through deeper dimension, whatever person shows up, all right, we are to honor them. We are to value them. God never commanded you to like anybody. Well, I don't like them. Sometimes my wife don't like what I do either. Sometimes she does things that I don't like either. But love covers a multitude of sins. Tell me amen. So we are to honor everybody. Tell me amen. Because everybody was made in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for all of them. All right? And so in the church, we are known for love, not hate. We're known for acceptance, not rejection. Now, Jesus ate with sinners. He did not sin with sinners. God wants you to be light in darkness. See, I don't like the hairstyle. Hey, at least they got hair. I'm not looking at anybody. It just comes out occasionally. Oh, the next group over here. Look at this right now. And this say, finally, the Bible tells us there is one group of people that gives double honor. Not to the king. Not to the widows. One Timothy chapter 5, verses 17, 18. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of how much honor?
Double.
Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Double. Hey, everyone say double.
Double.
Do you know that Jesus Christ, when he went to Nazareth, the Bible says, because they did not honor him, he could do no mighty work. Remember, where there's dishonor, the Lord cannot send revival. I'm preaching the truth here. Oh, I'm in a good area right now. All right. And so as you got two churches here right now, hey, come up here. Come up here, both of you. All right, Jerome, you and Jenny come right here. We represent two churches right here. Two churches. Come on. Come right here. Come right here. Hey, just grab your wife, hug your wife here. Hug them. All right. Are these the ones who labor in the word and doctrine?
Amen.
Are there people of integrity that love the Lord?
Amen.
They preach what God gives them. Tell me amen.
Amen.
These deserve more honor than the prime minister. More honor than the state premier. We're to give them double honor. Can I hear that? Can I get you right now? Stand up and give them a standing ovation right now. Wait one moment. But it's more than a standing ovation.
Amen.
It's when they talk, when they're speaking to the church. We need to be very intent in listening. Because what I know is this. When you dishonor somebody, you don't want to hear them. And if you don't want to hear them, they can't influence you. Oh, God, yeah. Therefore, I'm asking you as a local church or these two churches that come together right now, I want you to begin looking at these elders here that are work, that labor in the word and doctrine. I want you to go a notch beyond. Say, Lord, I now recognize I have to give them double honor. Oh, if we had Anthony Albanese come here, everybody would be stand. You should clap their hands. Hey, we want to be more than that. Hey, we want to honor their words. We want to help them. Tell me amen. The Bible tells we are to obey those that are lead us in the Lord. Tell me amen. Why? For they must give an account. They will give an account to God for how they've ministered to you, how they've taught you, how they've trained you. Tell me amen. Amen. So we need to make sure that in our heart, we give them double honor. One more time, one more hand clap. Love you. I got 5 minutes. I got to quit.
Yeah. Okay.
I got 5 minutes. I got to quit. Oh, Lord. All right, all right, all right. All right, all right. Sit down, sit down. Now, the last. I call this eternal honor. Look here. Revelation, eternal honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. 11. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. I was amazed, you know, when I had this sermon and people were talking. Larry is talking about the for how long? Forever. How long? Forever. Talking about over here, those who hunger and thirst, you know, for all that kind of stuff. All right. And so who worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. You were created, you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. We have all this earthly honor here, but hey, the Lord Jesus Christ, we give him eternal honor. Tell me amen. Well, he's the one that died for us. He's the one that sacrificed for us. Amen. So, I people say, Pastor John, what about the hypocrites? Get your eyes off the wrong people, please. You can come to church, look for a hypocrite. You can always find them. Jesus had 12 disciples and one was a hypocrite. Well, I found the hypocrite. The problem is you've looked for the hypocrite, but you haven't found Jesus. If you come to church looking for Jesus, you can find him. And he's the one that has the eternal honor. Amen. We give him glory and honor and power. For you, Jesus, created all things. And by your will, they exist and were created. My last verse that I don't have on this right here, I want to close with this. The Bible says, the way you treat God is a way that God will treat you. I'm going to show you that verse. The way you treat God is a way that God will treat you. And we find this over here in 1 Samuel chapter number 2 and verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 2 and verse 30. Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, does God love us? And the answer is?
Yes.
Does God want the best for you? And the answer is?
Yes.
But if you dishonor the Lord, you won't be able to receive what God has for you. Because the way that you treat God is the way that He'll treat you. God loves. He loves everybody. But when we don't honor the Lord, we just, oh, that's just a God thing. I want to live my life the way that I want to live it. I want to do what I want to do. And I don't want anybody telling me. If that's the way we treat God, even though God loves you and God cares for you and God has a plan and a future and a destiny for your life, because you treat God that way, He can't really do what He wants to do in your life. That's why the song we were singing this morning, open our hearts, O Lord. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit is here, my Lord, I open my heart to you. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I ask you, my Lord, to be the Savior of my life. I ask you, Lord, to be the Lord of my life, the leader of my life. And as I do that, Lord, I now honor you. And he says, because you honor me, I've always loved you, but now I can honor you. I can now lead you and guide you. I can now heal you. I can now restore you. I can lead you into the blessings of God. Why? Because we're honoring the Lord. And that's a personal decision. A personal decision. The Bible in the very end tells me that I, as a child of God, I'm to keep my eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the author. He's the finisher. Some people are looking around and comparing themselves with another child of God around, and oh, I feel better. Look what they do over there. I'm better than they are. No, no, no. We keep our eyes upon Jesus. We keep our eyes upon Jesus. Tell me amen. And as we keep our eyes upon Him, Lord, you lead me. Lord, in the very end, you're working on my heart. You're working on my life. And Lord, you're the one that died for me. I will not let any hypocrite get in between me and the Lord Jesus Christ. A hypocrite didn't die for me. Jesus died for me. I don't have religion. I have relationship. And the most important relationship I have is with the Lord Jesus Christ. I love my wife, but she's not number one in my life. I love my children, but my children are not number one in my life. I love my sons-in-law and grandchildren, but they are not number one in my life. I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and because I love Him, I can love my wife more. I can love my children more. I can love my sons-in-law more. I can love my grandchildren more. I can love the children of God more. Why? Because of that love. God is love. All right. The Lord has told us in these seven areas we're to honor. And the entrance of your words brings light to the simple. When you go from here, I pray that you will hear this and say, Lord, I want to honor the King, Prime Minister, State Premier. I want to honor my parents. I want to honor the widows. I want to honor the single parent families. Amen. Oh, Lord. And oh, God. Oh, yes. I want to honor my spouse, Lord. I want to honor my wife, Lord. Oh, Lord. And wives, respect your husband, which involves honor in it also, all right? I want to honor them, oh, Lord. And, Lord, I want to honor the elders of the church, my Lord, with double honor. Double honor, but Lord, but beyond double honor, the eternal honor I give to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give Him a nice hand clap right now, all of us together. Give the Lord glory and honor and power. Lord, and I just speak your blessings upon every person here right now. I recognize your goodness, my Lord. It was your goodness that leads us to repentance. Your goodness. It was your goodness, Jesus, that you died upon the cross for us. It's your goodness, my Lord, that you said through your word, hallelujah, I'm never leaving you, I'm never forsaking you, I'm always there with you through the Holy Spirit. May we all stand, and just forgive me for going on too long. I just want you to pray right now. If you don't know Jesus, or if you've been kind of cold, just open up your heart right now. Say, Jesus, I need you, and I want you. And I ask you to forgive me, my Lord, for looking in the wrong place, my God. You have placed eternity in my heart. And Jesus, you're the only one that can satisfy me from the inside out. Let's all pray together right now. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we stand in your presence. We stand here, my Lord, in your presence right now. Lord, I recognize your presence here right now, my Lord. And oh, my God, we want to honor all these people, my Lord, these groups of people that you've commanded us. But, Lord, the highest honor that we have is the honor to you, my Lord. And, Lord, if there's anybody right now that is here that you've kind of cold or backed away, in your heart right now, say, Lord, I need you. I ask you to forgive me, my Lord, for neglecting so great of a salvation, my Lord. And Lord, I recognize I need you and want you in my life. And I recognize, Lord, if I confess my sins, that Jesus is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.